Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You're listening to The Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio and Sneaky Joe DiBiase on WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, well, we're going to hear from Brandon Bean today at 1 p.m. or so. It's kind of approximate. It's Jordan Poyer as well. I'm guessing, I don't know, Joe, Deonte Hardy, Connor McGovern.
Yep.
These guys that the Bills have signed. There's an onboarding process. They're going to be in Buffalo. They'll sign their contracts. I mean, that's my assumption. They'll be here to sign their contracts and then meet with the media. I remember last year we did the same thing with Von Miller, and because he was Von Miller, and they had to do all this social and him go on the field and signing the contract and the pictures. I think we were there for like 3-4 hours. I don't know if that'll be the case today, but the bottom line is I want to tell everybody, Sal Capaccio here, Sneaky Joe DiBiase, Extra Point Show. 1 p.m. today or so, we will hear from Jordan Poyer, select players, and definitely Brandon Bean. What do you expect Brandon Bean to say to us? Let us know. I've been thinking about what questions I have for Brandon Bean.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're down there. What question would you ask him? Usually, you don't go to these things. You host. I'm the reporter. I go down there.
Well, my first question, my first wonder would be about what the plan is with Deonte Hardy, whether it's like in terms of special teams versus just being a pure wide receiver. Nick Underhill told us yesterday that he had focused more on being a pure wide receiver in the past couple of years. So I think that would be where I start, is just figure out, like my guess right now would be that Nyheim Hines is going to be their returner. Deonte Hardy signing is more about the offense, but I think I'd want to know for sure on that front if Bean would give any indication one way or the other on that.
I think my prediction is, that's a great question, he won't say that. I think he would say, I think he would say we see them in multiple roles. It'll be Nyheim, it'll be, you know, we still have Isaiah in the roster.
Yep.
See, to me, the most intriguing thing...
Anything about Isaiah,
right,
maybe. To
right.
See if there's any clues to pick up about what happens there. Because he's due that roster bonus tomorrow.
I've settled on maybe the number one thing for me is the plan at middle linebacker right now to have an internal battle. Or are you still going outside the organization maybe for that?
That's probably that's right to be the number one thing going into
right?
today. Yeah, that is.
To me, that sounds like... Like, I want to know, because we've been wondering a lot about that. What is the plan at middle linebacker? Is it Terrell Bernard? Is it Tyrell Dodson? Is it them to battle it out? Is it bringing A.J. Klein back? He's not on the roster. I don't know if he'd comment on that. Or is it, hey, you know, we see those guys as fits. You know, he's not going to give away everything.
Right.
Can we get a clue that maybe they'd still be in the market for one, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Right. Because if they don't do anything there, that's going to be the position next to receiver that we talk about for the draft. Like 100%. But I wonder how comfortable, because if they don't sign anybody else, they must have some confidence that Tyrell Dodson, Terrell Bernard, combination of the two, can be the middle linebacker this year. Because if they're not, then they'll do something. I don't think they would go into the draft thinking we have to land a middle linebacker in the first or second round, right? Like that would put yourself in a position where...
The Bills never operate like that, too.
Yeah, even when they drafted corner last year and it was a big hole, they still had Dane Jackson on the team. Like they had a reasonable, you know, list of players that, okay, they could not draft a guy in the first round and get away with it. do they feel that same way right now about middle linebacker, that if the board doesn't fall right, if Jack Campbell goes 10 picks before they're on the clock, and they go, well, we can either draft this guy with a third-round grade because we need one, or we can go with Terrell Bernard and Tyrell Dodson. I'd have to think they feel comfortable enough with those two to not put themselves in that position.
Now, he would also never specifically reveal this, but I would think, and maybe he can say in some way, shape, or form, did it ultimately come down to, hey, we could only choose between Edmonds and Poyer. Not that they necessarily had to choose, but by one of them making their own decision, they were able to pivot to re-sign the other one, if that makes sense, right? Like, it wasn't that we had to choose, okay, we're going to get either one back we want. It was,
yeah,
hey, we know we can't get both. If one of them leaves, we will try harder to keep the other. I feel like that's the case. If Jordan Poyer, yeah, if Jordan Poyer had signed,
yep,
first day of negotiating period, right?
Tampering. Yeah.
I don't think the Bills have. I think if he had signed, away, I mean, if he had gone to another team, I think the Bills may have tried harder or been able to or figured something out with Tremaine Edmonds. I don't know that for sure, but maybe they do that. Maybe they look to try and do that. I don't know. And was the money just too rich no matter what?
My take on that is they wanted to sign Edmonds, and they didn't have the money near what Chicago was offering. And after Edmonds left, they had this pool of money that they were offering to Edmonds and circled back around with Jordan Poyer and said, hey, we didn't land Tremaine, so we've got more space than maybe we thought or than we were planning on. So we can now offer you this. Like, I would imagine that's how that went, that both sides went into the free agency period thinking, okay, the Bills are going to try to sign Edmonds. Poyer's going to try to go to a Miami or a Vegas or mm-hmm. somewhere where he likes the tax rate. And both sides didn't get exactly what they wanted, and they met back up and said, okay, well, we can kind of come together now. And I'm almost not mad at myself, but I feel like it was predictable in one way that that could have happened. It was predictable in that Poyer at 31, coming off an injury-riddled season, and the Bills trying to sign a linebacker who, if he wanted to max out his value, they were not going to be able to re-sign. The scenario was kind of always out there that they could re-sign Jordan Poyer, and it would have looked exactly like this, where you don't sign Edmonds, Poyer doesn't see exactly what he wants in free agency, and the Bills have this money to spend on something. Why not do it on your all-pro safety that's been here for so long?
All right, let's get out to the phone lines. Let's get connected with our fans. 803-0550, 888-552-550. Scott in Cheektowaga starts us off. Hi, Scott.
Hey, boys. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Good.
So, you know, when defensive coordinator Coach Frazier steps back a year and there's talk that McDermott's going to call a more aggressive game plan, and then we lose our inside linebacker. Is Milano suited to play middle linebacker? I mean, there's talk of this, right? If the answer to that question is yes, he can, would those players, Dodson and the other fellow you were saying, are either of those just as or more qualified to play the outside role? And then a second follow-up is, from day one of McDermott taking over our team, there was that talk of a big nickel that we have yet to be able to find that fits that role. It's here, Neil, maybe, but maybe now with this whole aggressive play calling thought, that the big nickel becomes a part of the equation. Maybe
okay, let me take them both, because I don't want to go too far down the road without answering each question and forgetting about it. So let's start with Milano, okay, Scott? When you say there's been talk, that's only talk from fans. I haven't heard anything from the organization or any clues. Maybe we'll get something like that today from Brandon Bean. It is fans asking and wondering. And I'm going to tell you this. Yes, Matt Milano can play middle linebacker. There's no doubt in my mind Matt Milano can play middle linebacker. The issue is he's also a first-team all-pro outside linebacker. So you'd be moving him away from the spot where he's best used with his skill set, putting him right in the middle of a defense at 6 foot, 220 pounds, and asking him to go downhill more. I just don't know if you want him to do that, and I don't think that's smart necessarily.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
It makes more sense than my thought to the contrary.
Well, your question was, could he do it, and could Bernard and Dodson play outside? And the answer is yes. The answer to that is yes. The issue I have is, you would be, I think, shortening Matt Milano's ability and career to do what he does most effectively at the spot he is because of his size and what his role would be. Now, he could still do sideline to sideline, no doubt about it. That's what Tremaine Edmonds did. But the middle linebacker has to take on bigger offensive linemen and go downhill more often, and then you're taking him away from those other things that he would do better that made him a first-team All-Pro. So I don't see it happening, although I don't think it's completely a far-fetched idea whatsoever. The other one, who is coming off the field, Scott, if you go big nickel?
Fair question. What, probably one of the safety is my guess.
So do you want to take Micah Hyde? Do you want to take Micah Hyde or Jordan Poyer off the field for a big nickel?
I get it. Then maybe just a one linebacker, like four man front, one linebacker for in the backfield. Or five in the backfield rather.
Well, they do play a 4-2-5. What you're asking is them to go more of a dime and play six defensive backs then.
Yeah, I guess when you word it that way, it makes me realize how silly of a point it is.
It's not a silly point. It's okay. And by the way, they have done that. They have. Scott, thanks for the phone call. We'll expand on this, and I think Joe wants to chime in too. But it's not a silly point, and they have used Saran Neal in that role. The thing about, you have to remember that about this defense is they play a 4-2-5, and the third linebacker is essentially Taron Johnson. Now, if you want to replace, the answer to the question I asked you, Scott, is Taron Johnson would come off the field. You'd go from smaller nickel to bigger nickel, but you're not changing the structure of the defense.
Yeah. You could tell me this is a bad idea, because it probably is. I'm thinking right now in my head, like, what would I do with this defense right now if I were playing Madden? If I were playing Madden and I was calling the plays, and, you know, in Madden, people throw the ball more than they do in real football. And one thing that I'm thinking about, like, Milano in coverage is so talented and so good. And, you know, Dodson and Bernard, you know, not to say that they're bad at it, but the big nickel idea, like, how would I use a big nickel? You're right, like, who comes off the field? The only scenario I'm even thinking about where I might even want to try it is obvious passing down situations. If I had, like, an Isaiah Simmons, I don't know if I want to take Taron Johnson off the field. Ideally, if you get your most talented 11 out there, mm-hmm. you're taking Dodson or Bernard off the field, and you're just, for a play or in a certain package, you have Milano as the middle linebacker and your big nickel guy next to him. But
now you could. By the way, you could.
Who does that though?
Well, you could do, and what teams do when a team goes dime, that's six defensive backs.
Yeah.
Generally, an interior defensive lineman comes out. You go three guys. You have a nose guard and two ends.
Yeah.
And then you play six defensive backs. That's generally how it works. If you want to do it, there's a way to do it. You're going to put three defensive linemen, but you're going to keep Taron Johnson and put an extra guy on the field.
Yeah. I think it's very possible. Maybe even the favorite thing to happen is it's going to be Bernard or Dodson. I think I'd want to guess right now it's going to be one of those two starting week one. And that's not to say that I even think it's, you know, better than a 50-50 shot, a coin flip. I don't really know what they're going to do, but because it could be a rookie and it could be Bobby Wagner. But I don't feel like... it's a done deal that they're just going to add somebody else, and that person's going to start.
I agree. And the fact that they did re-sign Terrell Dodson and bring him back tells me, like, to have a plan for him, obviously. He's not just a special teams guy. Like, he has been, but he's been the main backup. Yeah. And then Bernard came in and kind of fought for that a little bit. So this is what you do sometimes. You have these backups, and you have to put them into starting roles. It happens all around the league. It happens in Buffalo. And you're going from $18 million of what Tremaine Edmonds signed.
Right.
To what? $1.5 million? I mean, it's a $16 million difference, essentially.
The one question I have, and we had a caller last hour ask about, like, you know, diverting the defensive assets to the offense, and, like, even whatever free agent money they have left over in draft capital, don't spend it on a middle linebacker. Sean McDermott should be able to coach up, you know, a top-level defense, even if there are holes. On some level, I understand that sentiment. But what I wonder is, yeah, your defense, you'd like to believe Sean McDermott in this defense can be still a top unit with a couple of holes on their defense. But is the hole you want on your defense that position?
Right.
When your hole is cornerback two, you can scheme around that. And you got Poyer and Hyde and Tre'Davious White, and it makes it a lot easier. And you can scheme things up to come overcome maybe a hole at cornerback two. And maybe a defensive tackle. You can scheme things to make that easier. I don't know about middle linebacker. I don't know if there is a level of scheming or a personnel, you know, shift that you can do that can overcome that being your hole, even if it is your only hole.
Let me, Joe, I can't underestimate how much I've thought about this so much the last 24 hours. I just think the addition, the re-addition of Jordan Poyer, and if he and Micah Hyde can stay healthy and play a full season,
yep.
How it makes everyone so much better, and this conversation shifts. I really think that was such a big deal last year that these guys were not on the field together, especially Hyde, obviously. He missed 14 games, and then Poyer was out for a game here and there, there's no doubt. And if you can tell me, if I can envision them both healthy all year,
yep.
I just think it makes so much more of a difference in the front nine guys in front of them and what they'll be able to do.
Is their biggest question right now, what's a bigger question right now about the Bills and how good they're going to be on defense? Is it who their starting middle linebacker is, or is it the health of their four most talented defensive players? Because I would say, well, maybe I guess Milano would be in this too, but okay, of their top five...
It still might be pass rush based on Von Miller's health.
That's what I mean.
Right.
They're five most talented defenders. You can nitpick most if talented. You want, but the five I'm going to name here, most talented, are Von Miller, Tre'Davious White, Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, and Matt Milano.
100%, I agree.
Four of those five you have injury questions coming into the year about.
Yep. The only one you don't is Milano, and he's actually been on the injury report
right. You
know, several times. But he's, so, as I point out to a lot of people who tell me he's always injured, he's missed one game in the last 2 years.
Right.
He missed like three games a few years ago with a broken leg that someone rolled up on him. I mean,
yeah. Yes,
he is banged up sometimes like everybody is because yep. He's smaller, but he's been pretty durable as far as playing games in his career.
So with Poyer back, you have three big questions about the defense. You have one, who's the starting middle linebacker? Two, how is it going to look without Leslie Frazier and Sean McDermott, we think, calling the plays? Three, how healthy and what form are those four guys I just mentioned? Poyer, Hyde, Tre'Davious White, and Von Miller. And I would want to say of those three things, that health point is the most important. If you told me right now those four are healthy for the whole year and playing at the level that they're capable of, that is more important than who's starting at middle linebacker or not having Leslie Frazier. Because I think those four are that talented. You might need all three of those things to come together, right? You might need McDermott to be great at replacing Leslie Frazier, whatever combination that looks like, replacing Leslie Frazier and that going well. You might need someone at middle linebacker to hold down the fort and have all four of those playing healthy to be a top five defense again. But I do think the health is a huge point and question mark about this defense.
803-0550 if you want to jump on board. 888-550-2550. Yesterday, Jeremy asked you, and I can't remember who the players were. He asked you to rank like the importance of something and bringing them in. Was it the free agents plus Poyer? And you put like you had the two offensive guys first. What was the question?
It was four things. Like what was the?
Because I know you prioritized offense when you did it.
Oh yeah, it was what they could do with the money they have left over.
That's
I think.
Right.
And
it was before Poyer signed.
It was before Poyer signed. So it was Beckham. It was, who was the other offensive player?
Oh, that's right.
Beckham, somebody else, and then it was Poyer and Bobby Wagner.
Okay.
And I ranked it Beckham 1, the second guy I can't remember, 2.
Me neither.
And then I ranked Poyer 3 and Bobby Wagner 4. I thought it was more critical to bring Poyer back.
I think it was Jamal
back.
Williams.
It was, no, I don't think so. Because I think
it was a running back?
I think I would have put Jamal Williams last.
Okay.
I am team no more running back moves.
Okay. All right.
It might have been another receiver. It must have been another receiver.
Okay. Well, see, I listen to that and I'm thinking, I get it. Like, I get the philosophy. I wanted to push back and say, to me, it's Jordan Poyer. Like, if you can get him back, that's kind of the genesis of this whole thing. I think, you know, when people talk about allocating assets, defense, offense, yes, you're going to allocate some to Jordan Poyer. We don't know the numbers yet on Poyer, right? I mean, we haven't seen those.
We don't, no.
So, you know, he's going to get a hefty contract. Not super incredible. We know that.
You think? What are we guessing at? Like
7-8 a year? You think that's too much?
No, I don't. I think, oh, man. I'm having a tough time with, we don't know the money. I'm having a tough time with Poyer coming back here, like, for his sake. He sounds like he's happy with it, right? Like, the way he's looked on Twitter and social media
now. Oh, I'm sure it's disappointing how the market went, though.
Man, the last year.
Agreed.
Like, this was his chance, wasn't it? Like, to get, he's really a player that's never had the big contract.
Right.
And this was his one chance for it, and it just, it didn't go well for him.
Even my wife said yesterday, we were talking about it, and she said to me, like a fan, and she goes, Sal, he just played through everything last year and did everything for this team. And I said, you're right. And it sucks that doesn't get rewarded in his mind, maybe with the monetary value he might want. We'll see. But I agree with that, and I agree with everything you're saying. But when you talk
I get your point, though, about like how critical he is.
I guess the point I'm making is, if we want to talk about assets allocated to each side of the ball, I think this one asset improves the entire defense so much. Mm-hmm. That's really where I'm at. That's how good I think Jordan Poyer can be. But it has to be also in combination with a healthy Micah Hyde to really make the kind of difference I think it should make.
Yep. And you know what? Like, even since yesterday, I've warmed up to, and not that I ever even hated, I never hated the idea of bringing Poyer back. I just put two offensive ideas above it. Poyer being back, the reason I'm warming up to it even more than just you took what was probably your biggest hole on your roster at the moment, right? Like, we had no idea who was going to be their safety without Poyer. And imagine he wasn't a Bill. Pretend he was never a Bill.
Ever.
Okay. Yeah, he just had his career that he has just had for the Bills, but he did it for another team. He did it for, like, the Seahawks. And the Bills walked into this offseason with the hole they had at safety and then signed Jordan Poyer. Well, how would we sound about it? It'd be, holy cow, we had this big hole, and they just signed an all-pro on a two-year deal to do it? Like, we'd be over the moon about it. So that's one way of looking at it. But the other way is,
it generally goes back to team fans oftentimes undervalue, like,
something that's not like a change. Just,
yeah,
just
I don't know how I
want to
say this
continuity.
The right way. I don't know how to say this the right way, but you know, you get another guy. Because it's change, it's so much better.
Right.
Instead of just keeping your own guy.
Right. If they had signed, use Bobby Wagner for that, because that was the one guy Jeremy asked me to rank yesterday. Bobby Wagner versus Jordan Poyer. Let's pretend there's no difference in terms of impact. Like, they're the same. They're the same impact on the defense. Yep. They're both all pros, too. Even though they're the same impact, Wagner would be way more exciting for fans.
I think for the most part, that's right. There's
because he just hasn't been here.
Not everybody, but you're right.
Right, but in reality, there really is no difference, or maybe even Poyer is a bigger difference.
That's right.
So, and then to my second point about why I've warmed up to it, really what I want from receiver is them to get younger. And I like the Deontay Hardy signing too, it's not like they've done nothing at the position. They did Deontay Hardy, and that's something to be curious about. But really what I want from the Bills at receiver is to get younger and to add that talent level of a first-round pick. And honestly, I think the Bills' odds of drafting a receiver in the first round yesterday, despite signing Deontay Hardy, probably went up a little bit, because I can't see them drafting a safety in the first round anymore. I'm not saying they couldn't do it at all, but I think the odds of them drafting a safety in the first round went down yesterday. And I like that.
Yes. I'm not ruling it out. Like a position they would do that in the first round, but who knows, right?
Their odds probably went down, though, of drafting a first-round safety.
Yeah, best available player. We'll see. All right, let's get to Anthony before we head out to a break. Anthony, down in the city. That's New York City. Go ahead, buddy.
How you doing, guys?
Good, thanks.
Now with all these Jet fans going nuts out without Rodgers, it's going to be important to get to him with him in the division. Can that front four get to him?
Well, I think the big question there is Von Miller's health, and that's going to play a major role in this. I still believe, as free agency goes on, I don't have the names in front of me necessarily, Joe.
Yeah.
I think they can still add to that spot. Like, I know they've...
To defensive end?
Yeah, I know they poured a lot of resources. I'm thinking maybe a guy who had at least put some time in the league, a veteran who you can rely on to kind of stabilize it until Von Miller's completely ready.
Yeah, I'm going to want to look back at this, because at the end of the season... I liked the idea of like an older, you know, pass rusher that's still pretty productive, but like, you know, this is about it for him.
Yep.
And the name I remember looking up for that was Justin Houston, who was like 36, but he had a pretty good year in Baltimore last year. And like a guy that you could sign on a 1-year deal for not a lot of money, a guy that might be chasing a title. And I don't know that he is signed. He might have went back, but I don't know. But when isn't that kind of fit the mold that you might think they would go for there? Like, guy they can find in a one-year deal for lower value, maybe he's a little bit older.
Does Calais Campbell fit that?
Is he more of an inside guy, though, at this point? I'm not to say I wouldn't.
No, he played defensive like end last year. He had 5.5 sacks at the age of 36.
Okay.
He's still older. He's a
He's
a guy who's won in the league. I shouldn't say that.
He's
really respected, and he's won some games. But, yeah, I mean, not like, I don't think he's won a Super Bowl. But
no, but, I mean, yeah, AFC Championship game in Jacksonville.
Go. Yeah.
Justin Houston is still a free agent. He's 34.
I think Campbell is also, right? Because he was released.
Bud Dupree just got cut by Tennessee. Like, one of these recycled guys that used to be really good, still pretty good, but I don't have to pay much for him.
I think that they could have that, use that. They could be in the market for that. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back here. We'll talk more about the changing landscape in the AFC East and even the AFC, if it has changed at all, and especially if Aaron Rodgers ultimately finally does go to the New York Jets.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
How is my body feeling? Is it going to be able to hold up? So at this point, as I sit here, you know, I think since Friday, I made it clear that my intention was to play, and my intention was to play for the New York Jets. And I haven't been holding anything up at this point. It's been compensation that the Packers are trying to get.
That is Aaron Rodgers. We'll get to him in a second. I want to remind you, though, the Sabres alumni invite you to the 16th annual Sabres Alumni Beer and Wine Festival. Thursday, March 30th, 6 p.m. at KeyBank Center. Enjoy great beers, fine wines, delicious food from the region. Socialize with Sabre legends and their wives. Bid on unique items. A portion of proceeds go to benefit the Elevate Salon at Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Care Center. Tickets are $85. You can purchase them online at sabres.com/winefest or at the KeyBank Center box office.
I'm not a big beer drinker, as you know. I do like my red wine.
Mm-hmm.
I am not a wine connoisseur, though. Like, you could just, I just look at the list and go, Give me a cab or a Malbec or whatever. Like, that's me.
I can pick out what a cab is from a Malbec, right. but like if you tell me, oh, this one is
no idea.
$55 bottle of, I like taste the exact
basically
same.
I'm just
the
house wine guy. Like I go to the bar if I want a glass of wine. I'm like, hey, give me this. Well, what kind? I'm like, just the house wine. It doesn't matter. I'm not too particular. I just like a nice glass of red wine, especially with a nice dinner.
I'll drink wine at home. I don't think I've ever had wine out.
Really?
Ever.
Oh, I'm the opposite.
I'm afraid it's going to put me to sleep.
I do drink it at home every once in a while with like some pasta or a steak or something.
Yeah.
But no. When I go out, I go to the bar. If I can't decide, I just walk up and just get a glass of wine. That's what I do. So this sounds like fun. This is where everybody could taste some wine. Speaking of the Sabres, by the way, we have a special guest coming up in about 25 minutes. John Buccigross of ESPN is going to join us at 11:05 a.m. We're going to talk Sabres, NHL. Devin Levi, he's big into the college hockey thing. We might even talk some chicken parm, as you said yesterday. But yeah, that's going to be fun. John Buccigross at 11:05. We'll talk a little Sabres. A tough, tough one last night for the Sabres, Joe.
As so deflating.
And then the Islanders wound up winning, too. So.
The Islanders won. Just how you don't pull that out. I mean, they're always going to give up four, right? Like, just... How do you even judge what Luukkonen was last night? Like, Luukkonen had some nice saves, and just there's four goals. It always happens.
And then the shootout just completely killed them. Oh, she's so good in the shootout.
That was SportsCenter, like, the top three plays of the game. Kuznetsov, too.
Yeah.
So, methodically going in, I just saw a tweet from... Who was this from? One of the Capitals reporters. Mike McKenna. He tweeted a video, 30 seconds long, of Kuznetsov in the shootout this season. He's taken five attempts... And in five attempts, he's done the exact same thing every single time. He goes slowly, slowly, slowly. He comes in from the right, and he goes backhand, forehand, and low blocker. He has scored on four of the five, and the other
is
one
it the goalies,
hit a post.
Goalies know this. Is it that they think he might do something different then?
I don't think goalies know this, because every single goalie is playing it like they don't know what he's going to do, and he's done the same thing five times. If goalies knew what he was going to do, they would cheat to that side, and none of them are cheating.
I think they know, but they think he might finally do something different on them.
I don't know.
It's part of your preparation. To kind of
Is it?
There's somebody on the staff that knows this. When you get to a shootout, they say, when he gets on the ice, this is what he does.
Is there? Because I think if someone's on the staff that's telling Luukkonen what he's about to do, he is not playing it at all like he played it. I don't know. Maybe it's a good question. We got to stop around on this. Shootouts are so rare now. That was only the Sabres' third shootout of the year.
That's right. That's right.
Because they're so rare, do they even bother with it anymore?
No, that's a good question. I saw a lot of today, well, why don't they just put Anderson in for the shootout? That's just not going to happen.
I mean,
right?
He's better at it, but...
You can't just come in cold in that situation,
especially
right?
A 42-year-old goaltender. Right, we're going to put him in cold?
Right, right. No,
he's going to tear something, and then the season's over.
That's exactly right. One of the great mysteries this year, and I'm sure it's not a mystery if you ask the people who actually kind of dive into the film and watch it closely and the analytics and things like that, but one of the great mysteries for me this year is why the hell the penalty kill sucks so bad.
It's a good question. I think it's two things. One, they don't have the personnel for it. Like they just really,
well, what
really
are they
don't.
Missing personnel-wise? Why don't they have the
they
personnel?
They just don't have very good defensive forwards. Simply put, like, even Okposo has been one of their more responsible defensive forwards. I don't think he's really been a penalty killer until like the last 2 years. And that's a lot about a necessity. Like, they just don't have a lot of... Like, Jack Quinn penalty kills. He's a rookie mm-hmm. who's known for his offense. He's mm-hmm. on the penalty kill. Just one of it... Part of it, I think, is personnel. And two, someone maybe that knows the sport better than I do can judge it. I don't know what their system is. Like, a lot of teams will do a diamond formation, and then they'll hold to it. Or other teams will have three guys kind of sit in the same spot, and then one guy chase around the top. Like, just one guy that kind of goes all over the place. The Sabres, I can't figure out what they're trying to be, because sometimes the one guy will chase, and the other times they'll switch, and like there doesn't
well,
ever
sure
seem to be...
I'm sure it's also by game they might have a different plan, right?
Maybe.
I would think.
I don't ever feel like there's a structure to their right. to their what their system is.
And the goaltending is, let's be honest, it's average, right? Their goaltending is average. Would you
sure.
say that? Another team gets more chances on a power play with a man advantage, they're going to have probably more goals in those situations against average goaltending, and you're not going to get bailed out as much.
That's right.
So that's going to happen as well. All right.
So,
we got John Buccigross at 11:05. Let's shift back to Aaron Rodgers. Did you watch yesterday the Pat McAfee show?
I did.
Okay, me too. And
I watched the Rodgers part at least. Yeah,
I thought it was compelling. I really did. It was compelling. It was good drama. When he first said, this isn't decision day, I'm like, what are we doing here? But then he actually got into what he is going to do. So this morning, though, I saw this and I heard this clip from Kyle Brandt from Good Morning Football. I want to play this. I just want to tell everybody it is 2 minutes long. But I wanted to play it because I think it's so on point for yesterday. And Kyle Brandt is so good at this. Kyle Brandt does a lot of the hijinks shenanigans stuff. It's really fun and all the Bills Mafia stuff. And that's really cool. But when Kyle Brandt like talks like this, I think he's so good. And I think he sums up a lot of what's really, really right about what happened yesterday. And I want to add to a point to ask you about how this impacts the division and him going to the Jets. But here's Kyle Brandt. This is 2 minutes long. I want you to hear it, though. This is Good Morning Football on NFL Network this morning.
I thought it was compelling. I thought it was candid. I don't think it was fun at all. I think I anticipated something slightly more celebratory. I didn't have fun watching that because it wasn't about the Jets. It really was very little about the Jets. This was about the Packers. And I think the reason it wasn't fun is because we were witnessing a public divorce yesterday, and we're going to continue to watch one. You had some mudslinging that was a little passive-aggressive. There's a lot of talk of money. There's a talk of reaching a settlement between the sides. They're now seeing other people. There's talk of love. Aaron got custody of Alan Lazard, full custody. They're fighting for maybe some of the other children. It was very strange and compelling. And I grew up a divorced kid. Like, it was hitting close to home. And it feels like this is not over. I think the headline for me is what we just saw. Went into the darkness, 90% retired. It's a wrap. After years and years and years, I'm hanging it up. I'm done. Come out, and in so many words, hears that the Packers are looking to move on from him, and now does a 180 and says, I want to play football. So this is an issue of spite. This is a vengeance decision. The Jets seem more like a conduit to keep his game going and unleash hell on the Packers rather than this is my favorite team. He was going to retire and found out that the Packers were moving on from him. So he said, now I'm not retiring. Start my workouts. Get my agent on the phone. I want to become a New York Jet. That's really compelling to me because it's always this way with Rodgers. Since coming out of Cal, there's always this thing that he has to prove and this blood that he has to shed. And now he has it again, whether it's manufactured or authentic. I would just say I would love to hear the Packers' response, any response from Murphy or Gutekunst or LaFleur or players or anything, because they're always this beautiful, old-fashioned American organization that does this business in-house, and I totally respect it. You got to say something in response to that because he's going to keep talking. Stand up for yourself. Tell your side of the story. At least make some attempt at the moral high ground here because he just claimed it and planted his flag. And what he said is, you guys messed this up, and he's pissed off, and now he's out for blood. That's what he said yesterday.
That is Kyle Brandt, Good Morning Football. So good. I love it, what he said. I would say this, though, not to counter what he said. I don't know if I got the feeling that Rodgers is out for blood.
Yeah.
What I think, though, is, yes, he is mad enough to say, I'm going to go play somewhere else, but what does that passion look like if he was 90% retired going into the darkness retreat? It's See, almost like, well, I was going to do it, but you want to get rid of me? I'll show you. I'll go somewhere else and wear another uniform. Not I'll go somewhere else and beat you.
It's interesting hearing that because I didn't get any of those same feelings listening to him. Any. I mean, I thought actually Rodgers, who drives me crazy all the time, listening to him yesterday, I thought what he's saying actually kind of makes sense. And he tried to get across, at least he said it, that there's no bad guy. He said the words, there's no bad guy in this situation. That the Packers want to move on, and that's okay, because Jordan's going to be a great player, talking about Jordan Love. And when he talked about 90-10 retirement, maybe I was wrong for thinking this, but I took that as, if the Packers were going to move off of him, then he thought I would just retire. And the Jets made a compelling enough case and have given him enough to think about that he's returning only because the Jets have done such a good job of presenting him an opportunity. But maybe I'm wrong in that.
It's interesting.
Because, again, even I'm taking him at his word, and with Aaron Rodgers, a lot of times that can be a tough thing to do.
I do. What do you think about the point that he made of, there was really not a lot of talk about, hey, I'm excited to go to a new team, can't wait to get there. Like, maybe that happens later. This was, let me tell you about how we got here with my old team. And when Kyle Brandt opens up with, this wasn't fun because that's, like, this should have been more about, hey, let's pivot and say, I'm really excited, I want to go there? Was it just not the forum, or should he have done that?
Doesn't he kind of have to be reserved on that because there still is no trade?
But he did say, I'm told them I'd go there. They have to work out compensation.
But that's what I wonder.
My intention is to play for them.
What is happening now trade-wise?
That's another
There was
great
a report
question.
The day before that the Packers were suddenly looking for the Matthew Stafford compensation. And what's interesting there, that's why I wonder, is Rodgers actually driving because he's being so flimsy at whether or not he wants to come back, that he's the reason why this is taking so long? Or is he right in that he told everybody on Friday he wants to be a Jet, he left it up to the two teams to work a trade out, and now the two teams are going to war at it? Because the reason I think that could be true, both sides have reason to believe they have leverage. And that's where it gets tough, because the Jets, the Packers would have reason to believe the Jets, they have leverage, because the Jets need Aaron Rodgers. They've signed Alan Lazard, right? They're clearing the decks for him. They've already passed on Jimmy Garoppolo and Derek Carr to go down this route. And if they don't get Aaron Rodgers, where are they? They're stuck. So the Packers have reason to believe they have leverage. The Jets have reason to believe they have leverage, because if Green Bay truly wants to move off of him, which every indication is that they do, they have to trade him. They can't cut him. The cap hit would be devastating. They have to trade him. And the Jets know they have to trade him. So now what do you do? Now the Jets believe, hey, you've got to trade him. So why do we have to? Well, there's going to be a conditional fifth.
And
what are you going to do about it? And the Packers say, well, you need to trade for him, so we're going to ask for two firsts.
And to your Jets leverage part, it's not like the Packers can go, yeah, we have to trade him. We'll trade him to another team, because the other team may say, well, I don't know if Rodgers wants to play for us.
And also, all the other teams are figuring out their quarterback situations.
That's right.
Who are you going to trade him to right now that's available?
No, that's right.
You got to start the process all over again. Like, I want to take Rodgers at his word, because I believe there's enough evidence and there's enough reason to believe that those two teams have not been able to hammer out compensation. I don't think it's as simply put as they've just had it figured out all along.
John Buchagross joins us at 11:05 a.m. We'll see if anything happens on Aaron Rodgers today. We do have Brandon Bean, the Buffalo Bills general manager, speaking to the media at 1 p.m. today, along with Jordan Poyer and other players who've recently signed. We'll have more when we come back. Talk a little bit more about Aaron Rodgers, his impact in the AFC East. Then John Buchagross at 11:05 on the Extra Point Show.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular-season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I know we talked about wanting to move somewhere with a better tax situation or whatever, but last season, they've already lost Tremaine Edmonds. They clear some cap space. This is an interesting acquisition. Remember, they love to play with at least 5 defensive backs, like 90% of the time. But if you look at how valuable Jordan Poyer's been, get him and Micah Hyde back together.
Cynthia Freeland, NFL Network, did you see Micah Hyde's tweets yesterday?
I did.
Pretty funny.
He texted or he tweeted about the tax rate too. Listen,
first of all, Jordan tweeted at Micah Hyde, "Hey bud," with a couple emojis, like a smiley and a wave. And then Micah Hyde quote tweeted, hashtag New York taxes are still trash.
I mean, it is something you don't really ever think about.
Right, but it's true.
That is absolutely true. Like, this is something I think about more in hockey. I remember Steven Stamkos once went back to the Tampa Bay Lightning, and everyone went, wait, he went to Tampa for $8 million a year when Toronto was offering 11? And, well, yeah, in Ontario, it's like a 50% tax rate. So in Ontario, it's like $5.5 million versus zero in Florida, which is $8 million. So, like, that's part of the equation for Poyer, is the less money in terms of the contract that we read in Las Vegas is actually more money for him than it would be here. And when you think about like the Bills recruiting free agents over the years and whatnot, like often you'll think about, you know, the organization and like what the ownership situation was once upon a time. But honestly, the tax rate, it's at least something to mention here, like once in a while, because it does affect how much money is actually going in these players' pockets.
Tremaine Edmonds tweeted out, is this this morning? I think so. A couple hours ago. Actually, exactly two hours ago.
Yeah.
I want to read this to you. This is something he posted also on Instagram. You might have already seen it, but now he put it on his Twitter. Quote, I am so grateful to the Bills organization for giving me my first NFL opportunity. Buffalo is a special city that will always be close to me. I appreciate the fans, the coaches, and the entire Buffalo community for embracing me and my family. Thank you for five amazing years. End quote. That's Tremaine Edmonds. A big hole in the Bills defense, but hey, five really good years. The Bills traded up for him in 2018. I think if you would say to the Bills, this is exact, if the Bills knew, let me ask this way. If you could go back and do it again, they'd do it again, right? This is the kind of player that they would hope to get by trading up for him in the first round. He was that good.
Yep. I said this last week, like, he probably would have signed had Matt Milano not become what he became. Like, that point when they drafted Tremaine Edmonds, they didn't know Matt Milano was going to be an all-pro, right? He had only started, we talked about it the other day, right? He had started like the second half of his rookie season.
Ramon Humber.
Like, there was no way the Bills knew Milano was going to be this good. So when they draft Tremaine Edmonds, and if they had guessed he became this player, they probably would have thought at the time, oh yeah, we'll sign that contract. But, oh, here's this other factor that you weren't thinking about at the time. You have another linebacker that became an all-pro.
And how much did we talk about asset allocation? Did they really want to do that? And
right.
And even at the time with Milano, didn't we have the discussion? Are they going to be able to pay both? They might have to make a decision here.
Right.
Well, and they kind of did.
Is anybody really that upset that they picked Milano over Edmonds?
Because I don't think so, no.
I know it's fans versus, you know, like Joe Marino, I feel like, from Locked On Bills, would make a defense that Edmonds is as valuable, if not more, than Milano. Most fans, I feel like, would tell you, though, they think Milano's a better player,
mm-hmm.
right? And maybe Milano is a better player. He was a first-team All-Pro. Edmonds never has been. Milano's also cheaper.
Yep.
Milano is making...
His cap hit this year was 13. I don't know what it's
like
going to be now.
It's like 7 now.
Well,
and
so
going
let's
forward,
just say
it'll be back to like 13, 14.
So here's... I think he'll be somewhere in... If you want to just talk about annual average, he's probably in the 12, 13 range now.
Okay. And Edmonds is at 18.
Correct.
So... Per dollar amount, is anyone that upset that they picked Milano over Edmonds?
For $5-6 million cheaper? I don't think so. We'll take a timeout. John Buchagross of ESPN will join us. We'll talk Sabres, NHL, Devin Levi, maybe even some chicken parm, but we're really looking forward to talking with John Buchagross next on the Extra Point Show.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.